Welcome back, everyone, to the Risk Intel Podcast, powered by SRA Watchtower, where we share risk intelligence with experts from across the banking industry. I'm your host, Ed Vinson, CEO at SRA Watchtower. Hello, welcome to the Risk Intel Podcast. I'm Ed Vinson, your host. Please join me in welcoming Doug Carnell to the Risk Intel Podcast today. Doug brings almost 30 years of operational risk management and audit experience with medium and large financial institutions, including about two-thirds of that time at a top 10 U.S. bank, where he focused on developing and implementing risk and control self-assessment solutions and spent significant time facing off with banking regulatory agencies. Doug, welcome to the podcast today.
Hi, thanks, Ed. Happy to be here.
Doug, we're going to tackle this topic of risk and control self-assessments over a three-part series. Today, we'll kick things off by introducing RCSAs and talk about how they fit with ERM. Then we'll continue on in subsequent episodes about how to enact RCSAs and then the tools and regulatory interaction. But before we jump straight into the content, I'll go a little off script here and ask you to perhaps give us just a thumbnail on your background and how you got into this risk space. And how you became so interested in this particular topic.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was in audit at Capital One in the early 2000s, very early 2000s, and auditing the card business. And as fate would have it, they had a relatively big credit loss on a solicitation that they realized was the result of an operational risk failure. At that point, the head of the business asked me to come over and start what, in essence, was the start of the first line operational risk management function for the card business at Capital One. Didn't know it was considered the first line of defense risk function at the time. We were just going in and really helping them. The charge was, Doug, help us to understand the risks or the bad things that can happen that prevent us from meeting our business objectives, identify and assess what controls we have in place to either prevent or detect those from happening before we experience another one of these really bad events, right? So that was, in essence, the start of my operational risk experience at financial services institutions. After 4 or 5 years, I then went to PNC in Pittsburgh and really moved into that second line of defense, the independent risk management role, where I played an integral role in developing the overall operational risk management framework, RCSA, scenario analysis, loss events, internal and external, key risk indicators, the full spectrum. Really aligned at that point to the Basel II expectations, and then eventually aligning them to heightened standards. So quite a bit of experience in this space.
Thanks, Doug. That's great context. Clearly, this is not your first rodeo, and you've got a bit of, as you said, a bit of experience playing in the space. So let's get right into it then and start right with a simple definition of risk and control self-assessment, right? You mentioned it there along your journey is something where you spend quite a bit of time working in that area. Let's lay the foundation for everyone so we've got a consistent jumping off point. How do you define a risk and control self-assessment?
Yeah, that's an important question, Ed. So it's really just a methodology to identify the risks or the bad things that could happen that could prevent that business from meeting its objectives, and then identifying and assessing the controls in place to either prevent those bad things or those risks from happening or detect them in a timely manner so you can really reduce the impact of that risk. That's really, in essence, the foundation of the RCSA. It's really identifying those risks, the related controls, assessing how well those controls are mitigating exposure to those risks.
All right. So why then would an organization conduct a risk and control self-assessment? What are the purposes or the benefits?
Yeah, and another good question, because Let's be honest, it is an investment of time and resources, and taking those resources away from executing on, delivering products and services potentially, right? But there are, in my opinion, numerous benefits that far outweigh those costs. First, it really drives awareness of the folks who are actually executing those business processes. It brings awareness to those bad things that can happen, those risks, right? It really brings attention to the importance of those control activities, and really making sure that they are designed and functioning as intended, so that those risks don't manifest themselves into issues that could cause regulatory concerns, result in direct losses, or other bad things for the organization, right? The other real benefit of the RCSA, another benefit of the RCSA, is to really build that inventory then of controls that both the business as well as the second and third lines really should be focusing on to monitor and test to make sure that those controls continue to be as effective as they need to be to manage those identified risks within the company's defined risk appetite. Third, it really serves as the basis for a much more effective root cause analysis. So, no organization is perfect. Bad things are going to happen. It's going to result in issues. And what's the first step? You got to evaluate what broke down, and how do we then fix it to prevent it from happening again? The RCSA should be the starting point to perform that root cause analysis. Makes things much more efficient. And then another benefit that a lot of folks don't think about is, most companies go through change constantly, introduce new products, services, technology. The RCSA serves as a really good foundation for the current state view, and then can be updated and move along as the new environment is developed, so that before you go live with a new product or service, the organization can feel comfortable that they understand those risks and they understand and implemented the right controls, so that when they go live, they feel confident that those changes are going in effectively.
That's great, Doug. Driving awareness of folks within the business around the importance of the control activities, building an inventory of controls for monitoring, testing, the basis for that root cause analysis, and that I love that last point of really helping businesses, right? There's no business that is static these days, right? Every business is dynamic and going through change, and to be able to provide a baseline and then illustrate where the impact of moving from A to B. It's a fantastic dynamic. Maybe the flip side of that, maybe it's implied in all those comments, but any particular consequences of not doing this well or doing it poorly, right? What's the downside here?
There are several. I'm just going to hit a couple of the big ones. The first one is that it can just be viewed as a regulatory or an exercise that has to be done, right? So let's identify some risk, identify controls, get it documented, get everyone happy that we went through the process. In essence, you've spent time and effort and produce something that is likely just to sit on a shelf and never to be used again for those purposes that I described, right? Quite frankly, that happens quite often. Okay. The when that is done, a lot of folks could get a false sense of comfort that the business understands their risks, their controls, or monitoring those controls, right? Because in theory, they performed an RCSA. They did this really good thing. They should have greater awareness. They should have an understanding of the controls. They should be monitoring and testing those controls. But in essence, it really was just kind of viewed as a compliance exercise. So, hey, we're done. Good. Let's not worry about that until we get asked to look at it again a year from now, right? Those are real pitfalls that most organizations, quite frankly, will experience someplace within the broader organization. There'll be folks who just aren't really interested in really Going through and doing a conscious effort to make a to develop a good RCSA.
Right. It's really comes across there as window dressing for the regulators rather than something that becomes institutionalized and inherent in the way that the business operates on a daily basis.
Well said.
Let's tackle one final question here from a kind of foundational perspective. How does an RCSA fit in with enterprise risk management more holistically, if you will?
Yeah, I really view it as the heart of a good enterprise risk management framework. And why is that? Any good risk management framework starts with defining risk appetite, right? And risk appetite should really be defined at major risk types. So now the RCSA allows the organization to look at those risks and the level of exposure, either by business unit or process or product, or even better, aggregated holistically for the organization to determine, are we managing those risks within our risk appetite, right? Within the absence of an RCSA, you really don't have a good foundation to evaluate how much true exposure do I have to a particular risk, and am I managing within the risk appetite? The RCSA really is the foundation for that. It also serves as the foundation for key risk indicators, right? If you have identified the most significant risks through the RCSA, what better areas to focus and develop key risk indicators? Right. Again, I'll say in the absence of an RCSA, you might identify a good set of key risk indicators, but you might not have.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a way of really truing it up and making sure that a lot of elements of a really solid ERM framework can really be tied back to that RCSA.
I love that your comment there at the beginning, that it's the heart of that holistic enterprise risk management framework, and the fact that it's the foundation for the risk appetite, and then those KRIs really does indicate how powerful it can be if it's done well, and
yeah,
and the far-reaching impact. Doug, we'll wrap this session here with our introductory remarks around RCSAs. I think that there's quite a few takeaways that I noted down here, really around the simple definition and driving awareness, building an inventory of controls, basis for root cause analysis, and helping helping institutions go through that change period, and then really understanding that these need to become embraced and utilized and become part of the DNA of the organization. They can't just sit on the shelf, and that creates a false sense of security. And then those the final comments there around the fact that the RCSAs really are the foundation, right, for that risk appetite and KRIs. So lots of great content, Doug. We appreciate it, and we look forward to continuing on and talking about how we enact the risk and control self-assessments.
Yeah, look forward to continuing the conversation, Ed.
For more information on SRA, please visit srarisk.com. Watch or listen to our weekly Risk Intel podcast series, or follow us on LinkedIn to learn more.